When it comes to ear training, it's not a very glamorous subject. I mean, if you take an hour and spend it on training your ear, you know, at the end of that hour, it's not like you really have something concrete to show for it, as opposed to, let's say, learning a riff of a famous song or something that you can play for someone and get immediate gratification. But developing your ear is of utmost importance, because you want to know what the holy grail is when it comes to improvising? It's being able to conceive of an idea or to hear an idea, whether the idea is invented in your head or you hear it somewhere else. You hear the pitches, or you hear them as you conceive them, and then you know what the pitches are in relation to each other. And then the other half of the holy grail, which doesn't have to do with ear training, is finding the notes on your instrument or in your voice. And that has to do, in guitar we call that fretboard theory, knowing where the notes are. But the first half, the interval recognition, it has to be there, or else you're hunting and pecking on your instrument. I've seen it many, many times, where students don't develop their ear, and then they can't conceive orally of a collection of pitches. Now, in order to train your ear on the 12 intervals, the easiest way is to assign famous songs to them. And I'm going to do all the examples in the key of C, but do them in lots of different keys, where the do, the root note, is different than C. But I'm going to choose C. So somewhere over the rainbow is the sound of the octave. And by the way, I'm presenting these in their order of easiest to learn, in my opinion. So next you should start with the fifth, which is, I do Star Wars. Now why is that called the fifth? Because that's the fifth note in the key of C. Do, re, mi, fa, so. But I prefer numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So 1, 5. Da, 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 da. And then the fourth is da, 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 which everybody knows as Here Comes the Bride, but it's really the bridal chorus from Lohengrin, written by Richard Wagner. 1, 2, 3, 4. Next would be like a third, which I do Obla D from the Beatles. Obla D, Obla Da. It actually goes 1, 3, 5. And then after that would be a sixth, which would be like My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean. My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean. Whatever. And then next is the two, which is like just Do Re. Like Do, a deer, a female deer. Like that. So just the first two notes in that famous song from The Sound of Music. And then last but not least, in the major intervals, we haven't done any flats yet, is the seventh. And the famous tune for the seventh is I waited till I saw the sun. It's called Don't Know Why from Nora Jones. All right, now you get into the flat intervals. The flat two is like the Jaws theme. Okay, and then the flat three, the famous tune is Smoke on the Water. And then the next one is the flat five, which is Maria from West Side Story. Maria, like that. And the flat six. A quick internet search, because my favorite one is on Crazy Train. But it's not the first two notes. That's 1, 1, 5, 1, and then flat six. That's what I use. But a quick internet search, if you don't want to use that one, because there's too many notes in the way, is it's from Johanna from Sweeney Todd, and it goes I feel you, Johanna, like that. And the flat seven, I personally use the introduction to Stone Free by Jimi Hendrix, which is not in the key of C, but it's like. I'm getting carried away here, but the more famous one for the flat seventh is There's a Place for Us from the song Somewhere from West Side Story. So how to practice ear training? Well, you can practice it anywhere. First of all, it's actually much better to practice it away from your instrument. Then you're not tempted to hunt and peck, as I call it, or grope for a note on your instrument. You can just pick a simple, very simple, do a nursery rhyme, you know, song that you really know well, And first you have to find the tonic, which is usually the last note. I'm going to take a nursery rhyme example just right now, and this is something you can then expand this past nursery rhymes to melodies that you hear anywhere. Find the tonic first, and then find each interval separately against the tonic. Don't do the intervals in relation to each other. It's too complicated. Just do it all in relation to do, to the one. So, for example, I'm going to choose Mary Had a Little Lamb. Now, in order to know what's going on with that, you have to go to the very end. Fleece was white as snow. There's your do right there. You have to know that information. It's not guaranteed that the last note is the tonic, but for most pop songs it is. At least the last note of like the chorus section where it all comes down. If you had to say thank you, good night on one note, if you were a singer and you had to summarize that tune and say thank you, good night on that one note, you know, the one note that feels like it's resolved, that there's resolution, that is the tonic. Most of the time, it's the last note. Anyway, here we go. Now that I know that do is, or I'm going to call that one, is the tonic for Mary Had a Little Lamb, that first note, I hear oh, blah, and so I know that's a major third. And then I know it goes down from there, Mary, and I know it goes down by a little. And I know it's not do, it's higher than do, but it's lower than three, therefore it must be two. So I'm going to double check it by going do, re, and indeed that's right. Now that may seem obvious to you now, but that process I just did where I'm assessing is the note going up or down from the interval I already know, and you know, there all these things factor into each other. Its relationship to the other notes that I do know, whether it's going up or down, and how it compares to do, it can all help you. So I said you should do each note against do, but you can also use the other notes that came before it to inform your choices, to help inform. So you're not just doing it out of a vacuum every single time. Does that make sense? So great advice might be to have, keep a little melodic journal, a journal of the numbers of melodies, and then go back on your instrument and see if you're right. This way you're not being influenced by what you hear or what you're seeing and conceiving on an instrument. You're just doing it purely by ear. Anyway, finishing up with Mary Had a Little Lamb, I know it goes 3, 2, 1, 2, 3, 3, 3, and then it goes down, so that must be 2, and then 3, 5, 5, 3, 2, 1, 2, 3, 3, 3, 3, 2, 2, 3, 2, 1. All right, have fun, you guys. A few more notes on ear training based on our session. 1. It takes time to develop your ear, and you have to do it in small doses, like fairly frequently, like a few times a week or whenever you get the chance. The nice thing about ear training is that you can practice it away from your instrument. You know, while you're in the supermarket, you hear a melody and then, you know, try and sing it, try and diagnose the intervals to yourself, even if it's not in the supermarket itself. Maybe it's when you're driving home or something. You know, you hear music all the time. The simpler the music, the easier it should be to do the intervals. So if you're a beginner at this, use like nursery rhymes. You know, write out nursery rhymes like we talked about. Or, if you're more advanced, try doing jazz standards. But you can. The nice thing, you can practice it anywhere. So yes, it takes time, but the results are very rewarding. Next, try to write the intervals, or at least hear them in your inner ear before you play them. That's a critical step. Don't hunt and peck. The purpose of this is to develop your inner ear so that you know where it is on the instrument, not spend time groping for it. All right. So write out simple melodies first before you play them, and then see how right you might be. First, you have to find the tonic. You have to have that first, and that's 99% of the time the last note of the piece, right? And your music, last point is your music theory, your knowledge of music theory helps you in ear training, because if something is diatonic, i.e. of the scale that it's in, like minor or major scale that it comes from, then you can predict what those things sound like. And if a note is non-diatonic, it will sound unusual. It'll sound like something different. So if it doesn't sound like something unusual, then you can predict what it might be based on your knowledge of music theory.